Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. God, what's the holdup? In life, we often find ourselves being held up by something.
All right, now.
There's the train.
Yes.
There's the traffic. Thunderstorms in life. The phone ring as you're walking out the door. And the list could go on and on and on regarding the things that sometimes will hold us up.
Amen.
But all of those things will soon pass away. We can adjust to those things. But what do you do when it appears as if God is being held up?
All right, man.
I mean, he's blessing the Baker family. But he's held up when it comes to your prayers.
All right,
now. He's healing Mr. Henry, but he won't show up in your life.
All right.
He's rescuing Mr. Roberts out of his situation, but he's still held up, it seems, with your situation. What do you do when it seems like God himself is being held up? I mean, we all must confess that sometimes we pray for something. We fast. We purge ourselves. We study the Word. We find scriptures and we line them up verse upon verse and precept upon precept.
All right, now.
And God still doesn't move in your life. What do you do when God seems to take his time? We know what it feels like. And it makes no difference how saved you are. The truth is, when you're praying for something and God is not showing up in your life, but he's showing up in the life of your next door neighbor, you can't help but to look over there and wonder, what are they doing that I'm not doing? And especially when you're on your way to church and your neighbor's the one that never goes to church, seems like everything is going well in their lives, and here you are, keep going to church and keep believing in God, but God still appears to be held up. What do you do when God seems to be held up? By the grace of God, I want to teach tonight in the limited time that I have. I want to teach on how do we wait, or why do we wait? Wait, W-A-I-T.
Yeah.
Word, alignment, instruction, and time. Word, alignment, instruction, and time. Daniel was a man that Daniel had witnessed many blessings. Daniel was the same guy that we've been dealing with for the last couple worship service, in that how Daniel knew that God stepped in for the three Hebrew boys, pulled them out of the fire, rescued them. They came out of the fire, wasn't burned, wasn't smelling like smoke. Daniel is the same guy who also seen God when he was in a den of lions, how God reached down and he closed the mouth of the lion. And now Daniel is saying, now I'm praying for you and I'm asking you to show up in my life, and I don't see you right now. Where are you, God? Do you understand what I'm going through? Do you know, God, if you don't move, they're going to come and get this car? Do you know that if I miss that payment, they're going to put me out of that house? God, do you understand my situation? So we begin to cry. We begin to call out to God. And God still doesn't move. Where are you, God? Here I am. I'm your child. I'm saying to you, God, here's my needs. When are you going to show up in my life? And so Daniel was praying to God and asking, asking God, show up in my life because I need for you to do something in my life. And we pick up in verse number 12 where now the angel began to talk to Daniel to explain to Daniel what's going on in heaven. Because sometimes when you pray, the prayers that you send up to heaven never makes it back down to where you're hurting or it takes so long. God is in heaven and we know how wonderful and how gorgeous heaven is, but I'm going through hell on this earth. Where are you, God, when it hurts? Do you hear me? Do you feel me? Do you know my need? Can you hear me? Do I need to scream louder? Do I need to speak slower? Can you hear me? I am in pain and God still doesn't move. God sometimes will not move in our lives because he wants us, to get a word. So God allows himself to be in the corner, it seems, so that you can spend your time in the word. When you discover what's in the word, then you can discover who you are. If you don't know the word, you don't know who you are and what has been promised to you. Now, God is a covenant-keeping God, which means that when God tells you something, God has to deliver. He doesn't have a choice in the matter because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, it shall be done. So God wants you to put a word inside of you. When you get a word inside of you, when the storms of life come, then you can tell God what God told you. Now God shows up in your life. Now God may not show up when you call him, because God is about perfecting you. He's about maturing you. He's about stretching you. He's about growing your faith. So if every time you cry, I cry, God shows up, how do we grow? So God has to step back sometimes and allow sickness to come in your life so he can show up in the midnight hour, in the last second, to show you that he's a healer. God sometimes won't show up when your account is negative 10 because he wants you to know that it makes no difference what's in your account. I'm still going to supply all your need. God has to show us who he is. So what God does is he moves himself so we can get a word inside of us. When the word comes inside of us, the word will lead us to number 2A, and that is alignment. The reason that you study the word of God is so you can align your life up with the word. So God gives you a word, and God gives you a promise. But the condition to the promise is that you are in line with this word. See, we are all over here asking God to bless us, and God is saying, but you need to be over here. So because we're all over there, God is saying, you're out of place. See, the Bible says that God will supply all of your needs. So when you're in line with the word of God, then all of your needs is already there waiting for you, already paid for. The stuff that we spend our time worried about is already paid for. Now, if he can open the mouth of a fish and the fish can deliver money through his mouth, then certainly he can take care of my mortgage. Certainly he can take care of a little car payment. Certainly he can take care of a little bill. See, God can do the supernatural when we are lined up with this word. But we have to be in the proper place in order for God to bless us. Because if we're in the nightclub expecting a blessing from God, then we don't have the word and we don't have the patience to wait. If God bless you and you out of place, then God is going to jack you up because you can't handle what God has for you. So we wonder why God is waiting. And the answer is, God is waiting on us. See, God has already moved. Already moved. Easy pass. When Jesus stretched forth on the cross, every single thing that you need is already there. You don't have to beg God for nothing. When you go to your parents and you're not, please, you don't do that. You just ask them and And because they are your parents, and they say, what I have, you have, you're entitled to it. That's why God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He says, you come right here, and you stand right here, like, God, I know you're going to do this, because you told me in your word you're going to do this. I know I'm sick, but you told me that by your stripes I'm healed. So he says, you come boldly, just like that. You come because you know that if you're in line with God's word, God got to come and see about you. He doesn't have a choice in the matter. Because he said it, and then he says, now I'll let Jesus Christ bleed on the cross, and I'll seal our relationship. Because our covenant relationship is sealed, no words will come back void. So if I said it, I got to do it. When you're going through something, just find the word. Find a word that relates to you and your situation. And if he did it for somebody else, oh God, let me show you what you did. Now, you did this for Daniel. You did this for Peter and for Paul. You got to do it for me. Jesus said that you will expect or you can see greater things because now that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, greater things than we can do. How many people today are raising folk from the dead? Because we don't believe. And so what God is challenging us to do is to believe. Now, you don't have to pay for a thought. Your thought is free. So he wants us to look in the word, find the word, align our little lives up with the word. And when once we're in line with the word, then he says, now wait for I instructions. We pray, jump up and go. I got a word from the Lord. He told me to go and marry this person. He told me to go and build that house. And then we get ahead of God. And then we say, Lord, where are you? I don't have the money to do this. And God is saying, wait. I told you to wait. See, one of the dangerous places to be is when God shows you something but don't tell you to move. Christmas time is coming. Your kids see the gift, but they can't open it. And so they become impatient, impatient. And that's us. Where God has blessed us with gifts, he sometimes shows us a vision of it, and we try to get ahead of God and move before time. We got to learn to wait upon the Lord. God can show you something, but say, now don't you move. I just want you to look at it for a while. I want you to know that I did that. So that when you get it, you'll appreciate it because you had to wait for it. Some things in life, if you get too soon, too fast, it means absolutely nothing to you. But when you have to work for your own car, it means something to you. When you have to work for your own house, it means something to you. When you have to work for your own money, it means something to you. So God wants us to wait for instructions. Now, the Bible is basic instructions before leaving this earth. And so what God is saying is all the instructions that you need is in the word of the Lord. And so when you pray, you petition God, say to God what's on your heart. But now notice that you received the word and you lined up with the word. Therefore, when you pray looking for instructions, because I'm now in line with the word of God, the only prayers that come out of my mouth is what God has in store for me, because I know what he has in store for me because I'm connected to him. See, God wants us so close that when we pray, we only ask for what he told us to ask for. When you ask for what he told you to ask for, then God instantly comes and rescues you because now you begin to pray his will, not what you desire. See, God is interested in his will because what God wills for your life is far more than you desire. I desire some stuff that is not good for me. I love chocolate, love sweets, love to eat fat stuff, but that's not good for me. So God is saying, but what you have to will is what I desire for you. And what God wants for you is far greater than what you want for yourself. Because the truth is, we don't know what we need if we're disconnected from God. And so what prayer does is connect us to God so that when we pray, what we ask God for is the instructions in which we heard God says. Get that? Before I pray, God told me what to pray. Therefore, if God told me what to pray before I pray, my prayer is what he said. Amen. You didn't get that. When you get in a place where you line up with the word and your prayer becomes, Lord, your will, and before you pray, you spend some time just meditating on the Lord, then when you pray, you say to God what God said to you, and then God says, I got that one. And so what God does is capture what you're saying, and then God shows up in your life. Now, God may not show up the moment that you pray and deliver you through that situation, time. Some things just get better with time. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. We want to come into church today, and then we want to pray and ask God to bless us and do all these things today. And God is saying, baby, we need a little time together. Come worship me. Come praise me. Come spend a little time with me. Come have an intimate relationship with me. See, it's the time that allows you to get to know a person. The more time you spend with God, the more you understand the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God begins to flow in your life. And so when we understand that it's a time thing, now God is saying, I'm ready to dispatch my angel. Look at verse number 12, please. Somebody read verse number 12 for me.
And said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I have come.
Fear not. Fear not. This is the angel talking to Daniel. And he says, don't be afraid. The moment that you begin to pray, he says, heaven captured what you were saying, and I was dispatched to deliver. There's an angel that is assigned to you. The problem with angels is angels don't move until you tell them to move. See, angels once upon a time was next to God. Until Satan got cute, he got kicked out of heaven. God says, I'm going to create something a little lower than angels, but because of their obedience, I can do more with them than I could with angels. And so God is saying, I dispatched the angel, and the angel is on the scene. Now when the angel comes for battle. Amen. Quite often in the Bible, you'll see angel and you'll see the host.
Yeah.
A host is a military term, which means I'm showing up to stand for battle. When you pray, your angel is dispatched, and he shows up for battle. Satan, what do you want to do? Makes no difference to me. He came to battle. Now, because he came to battle, keep reading.
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood
him. Now, the prince of the king of Persia, or the kingdom of Persia. In other words, he's saying, now, there is the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus that is in heaven, and they control heaven. But this earth is not controlled by God in a sense. Now, God has the power to overcome anything, but because we are bodies, the Spirit dwells in us, God gives us choice. And so what he's saying is that in this world, in this kingdom here called earth, Satan is running back and forth seeking whom to devour. So he says, when you begin to pray, Satan got in the way for 1 and 20 days. So for 21 days, his prayer was held up. The answer to his prayer was not delivered for 21 days because the angel was fighting against Satan. And so the angel says, take a break. I'm going to get Michael. Keep reading.
All right, man. Withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the princes.
Michael is a chief, an archangel, the big dogs. Now, when you go to combat and you shoot your little M16 against a tank, it doesn't work. And so the general says, freeze, time out, we know how to solve this. You got a bomb back there, drop it. And so what this one says is, I'm too small for this thing. Take a break, I'm going to get Michael. Now when I show up with Michael, I guarantee you, your blessing's coming through. Somebody needs to understand that just because your blessings is delayed, they're not denied. God is going to come through with what he said he would come through with. when Michael comes on the scene, then he says for 21 days it was held up. But he's saying, but God showed you a vision. And the vision that God showed you, though it may tarry, is coming through. God has shown you some stuff in your life. And it seems like God has forgotten what he showed you, what he promised you. It seems like healing is so far. It seems like a financial breakthrough is so far. I came tonight to tell you that God has not forgotten what he told you, hasn't forgotten what he showed you. And what he showed you, he is faithful. He's coming through. But don't you think they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, in the midst of you waiting, it is for you to get a word and to strengthen up. When you strengthen up, you have the strength like an eagle that I'm going to fly above my situation. I know my credit is here. I know I'm jacked up down here. I know everything is going on. But I got to rise above my situation, above my storm, above what's going on in my life. Because I know that God is not being held up. God was waiting on me to get in the right place. And so when I find that place, when I find the flow, the anointing in my life, now I'm in the right place. Now, Lord, rain a blessing down on me. Return unto me the joy of that salvation. Give it back, Lord, what the cattle weren't stole. Give it back, Lord, what I was crazy enough to give over. Give it all back to me, Lord. So once you get in line with God, then God begins to open up the windows of heaven. And when God says, I'm going to pour you out a blessing, he says, not only am I going to pour it out, but every day of your life, a little rain is going to come. And when the rain comes, don't you get upset. The rain is to fertilize your mess. I still got you in the midst of the storm. I'm taking everything bad and I'm using it for your growth. Relax. God is not held up. God is waiting on us. God wants us to have patience and to grow while we're waiting. God knows where you are. He didn't put you in a corner and forget about you. He knows exactly where you are. And he's simply waiting on us to get in line. Get in line with the word. When you're in line with the word, then the Bible declares that God orders your steps.
Amen.
See, some people put some ditches in your way. Some people dug some stuff so you can fall in. But because God is ordering your step, I peeped that one out. I saw that one coming. So now you learn how to step over that. And the stuff in life that you can't step over, Jesus says, I'll be your bridge over your troubled water. So I may not need to step over it, but listen, he's going to allow me to walk over your mess. God has already set the path of deliverance. All we have to do is wait upon the Lord. Oh, I know it's beautiful words when the sun is shining. Get in the storm and you say, wait, and you say, huh? Dude, what? You got to be kidding me. God, you got to show up right now. And God is saying, but I'm still in control. You mean right now? As awful as this thing looks, I'm still in control. God, you better hurry up and move. I'm not moved by that situation. I'm God. That stuff don't move me. I allow that to happen. I already see you tomorrow. Now, you want me to respond and freak out because you're freaking out? God is saying, no, I'm cool. I got this stuff all in the palm of my hands. I wrote about it before you came. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew what your life was about, and I wrote your salvation in the book of the Lamb. I'm not going to spaz out because you're spazzing out. You go ahead if you want to do that, but I'm God. I created this thing. I can handle this. I can put this together. I can return everything back unto you. The Bible declares that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have no joy. We have no strength because we have no joy. We need to reconnect with God. Tonight, as the deacons come forth tonight, is there one here tonight that has disconnected from God? We extend an invitation to you tonight. God, what's the holdup? And God is saying, I'm waiting on you.